Welcome to the Joyous Journeys of the Joneses. This is a follow-up to our intro last week, which is a rebranding of a previous podcast. We're glad you're with us. I'm Jeff.
I'm Melody.
So this week we're going to talk about some marriage issues, and I guess I'm going to start this way, Mel. We've been married almost 16 years now, so what expectations of either me or our marriage did you have that you haven't found to be realistic?
Do we really want to go down that rabbit hole?
Well, we've only got 15 minutes.
Yeah, we don't have enough time.
So let's do
that. In all seriousness, though.
But I'm sure there were some, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think everyone has those expectations going into a marriage, you know? And, you know, that's the beginning of the love that you're sharing. So you probably overlook a lot of things at the beginning.
Well, maybe it might be. I think I can testify to this. In the wooing or the courtship stage, you're always trying to put your best foot forward. And we're looking for the good in each of us. But after you get married and the courtship's kind of over, all of us kind of appear naked. I mean, we're just ourselves, which is what we should be.
Right.
But all of a sudden, we lose that desire to always have our best foot forward. I think that's natural.
Right. And we expect our spouse to know what we're thinking, and they just don't.
Well, yeah. And so...
Now, let me also say, though, I think it's different, though, if you've already been married before.
I think so, too. And I also think that, you know, if you can have a period of time before you have children, you have a more one-on-one and you begin to feel. But I think what we're trying to get at here is marital expectations and how the fulfillment of those or the failure to fulfill those expectations affects your relationship. So, with that in mind, let's jump in. And you're going to have to quit laughing, of course, so we can talk.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So, there's been studies on what they call disillusionment. And I remember I had a fraternity brother in college, a little bit naive, and he dated this cute little girl, and she was a cheerleader, and so they dated, and then they got married and moved into this little apartment on campus, and he came by the fraternity house one day. And we said, well, how's married life treating you? And he said, well, it was wonderful, but you know, we've only got one bathroom. And she said, you know, I was taking a shower and she came in and used the bathroom and all of my expectations just went out the window. And I understand that. And that's kind of, in kind of a crude way, what I'm talking about. We become more ourselves and maybe that wasn't seen before. So how does that play into the high divorce rate?
Well, I guess I was thinking something different. I was thinking, like, what was your expectations of me? I'll ask that question to you.
Well, and I don't know that we're a good example.
Maybe not.
We worked together for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, we were friends before, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you were my work wife.
Right.
I mean, we weren't dating, but every 5 days a week, you know, 8 to 5. So you and I pretty much saw the real other person. You saw us in our daily life, and, you know, the workplace isn't a place where you can really put on airs.
Right.
So I don't know that our situation is really typical. You know, you had 3 girls, and I'd never had children, and I think those expectations were a little different for me. I didn't understand what it took to
I know.
Get teenagers through
I warned and warned and warned.
Through middle school and high school and married. Those were shockers, but...
You get an extra jewel in your crown for that one.
But as to you, I pretty much knew you. I didn't have a lot of surprises.
Really?
So I didn't.
I guess what I'm thinking is just on a very personal line. Not so much that it would... I don't know. It might could turn into something worse. But, like, for instance, and we joke about this now, but... I know I separate clothes crazy, and I expect him to know how I do it without telling him. And he actually, you got it right the other day, didn't you? Because I was so proud. But it's something
years.
Like that, that you don't say anything. And it's sometimes I think it's the little things that start to build up and start to irritate you. And I'll tell you one thing I tell the girls all the time, because two of our girls are married. I'm like, just remember the thing that attracted you to them that you think is just so cute and you just love it is going to be the very thing that gets on your nerves after you're married for a while.
Well, you know, that's the layout of what we wanted to talk to you today about. The core of it is communication. And that's where I think we want to land today. If you've married somebody, and you've committed your life to them, then there's no excuse not to communicate after you're married. I understand when you're dating, you might not want to bare your soul of all your dirty laundry and you know, but, I mean, you probably should. I'm not saying that, but I can see why you might be hesitant to tell some of your deepest, darkest secrets.
Right.
But once you're married, and if you went into marriage properly in the Christian way, you're together for the rest of your life. And, you know, the only way that you're going to get on top of these kinds of issues is to communicate. And it's not easy, particularly early on, but, you know, something that your spouse does that irritates you or makes you mad or insults you or embarrasses you, that needs to be discussed. I mean...
Yeah, because I think sometimes we say things that we think are okay, but that's not what the other person hears so much.
Communication.
Right.
And
so you have to be able to be vulnerable, one, to say, you know, that hurt my feelings, and this is why. And then the other person needs to work on that. And I'm sure they didn't even mean it the way that we took it. We just, you know, our past... make us think the way that we do. And so, you know, some things that you may have forgotten that happened to you when you were a kid could be something that you said something and it just, like, caused a reaction.
Trigger.
You know, yeah. I don't really like that word trigger, but, yeah, caused a reaction. And sometimes I don't even know that you know that. You know, it just kind of comes back up and you're like, man, that really made me mad, you know?
Well, here is where this goes south. We're going to be teaching... on communication on another platform, and when that platform is finalized, we'll put that on the podcast. And the first topic is communication. It's going to last a full quarter, 3 months, because there's so much about communication that most people don't realize. But one of the things about communication is how you present your topic. It's not only the words you say, it's the inflection in your face, it's the tone.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's the tone of your voice. There's so many pieces to that. And so, in your marriage, we're talking about open communication, but you have to communicate in a way that's not offensive and not derogatory. I mean, you know, I can say, you know, quit, or I can say, quit it. Or, you know, I can say the same words and they mean so many different things. And so when we're talking about sharing problems with your spouse, it's just incumbent that those be discussed in a civil and respectful way, or they won't be received and they could create division. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think an example was... I had gotten a little sideways with you, and that honestly doesn't happen often, but I was dealing with something that you didn't even know about, and I just hadn't talked to you about it yet. And so you had said something and just not really, I mean, you didn't even say it hateful, but you just said it not like you normally do. And I just took that so personally because of how I was feeling at the moment and just went down this rabbit hole and was all out of sorts. But I came home to you and I started telling you how I was feeling, and you're just looking at me and I'm like, and you're trying to tell me that's not, and I knew that. So I just needed to get it off my chest that this is how I felt when you did that. And he was like, well, I didn't, and you didn't even think you did it. I'm not even sure that you did it, but I don't think it was to the degree that I took it. Let's put it that way. Does that make sense?
It does. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's, you know, they always tell you in any book you read on communication, if you're upset, you got to calm down first. You've got to get, you know.
And I think that comes with age.
It does. Because if you respond and you're angry, there's no way that response is going to come out in any.
Yeah, it's not going to come out right at all.
No. But the point is I think early on in a marriage, different aspects of your life, what church are you going to go to? Or are you going to go to church? How are we going to raise the kids? You know, are we renting or are we buying a house? Do we go to the movies or do we rent movies? I mean, all of those little things that seem so irrelevant.
They're so important, though.
Can be so important, particularly when one person wants to do one thing and the other person doesn't say anything.
Right.
And it begins to build up, and so 12 little things become one huge thing.
Right.
And the 12 little things could have been resolved in a 10-minute conversation.
Right.
It's called expectations. And what's interesting,
and I think sometimes, I'm sure there's women that don't feel this way, but I think we put so much in our Prince Charming that we think, you know, he's going to know what I'm thinking. We don't think alike.
I never put on my resume that I was a mind reader.
I understand that, but I think just being a woman, we're so much more emotional than men are, that that's just something I think we just develop as we grow.
So what are the action steps here? I think anybody that's listening to this podcast who is married or who has been married knows exactly what we're talking about. If you haven't, you're not paying attention. And I think the action step is that you step back and, well, number one, or number three or four, whatever number we're on, you need to have, you know, date nights and private time.
Right.
To where you can get away, just you and your spouse, and you discuss things and you have fun. And in those times, when you've dedicated that time to talk about things, which is very healthy to a marriage, that these expectations or these thoughts get brought up in a civil, calm tone, and that both parties agree, and you can end up agreeing to disagree, you know, but at least each of you know where you stand.
Right, and we do that.
Yeah.
We do that. And I think you need to, I think everybody, men and women, need to step back and they need to think, is that thought really true? And that's honestly what got me to thinking that what I had made into this big mess wasn't true is because it was the Holy Spirit saying, do you really think Jeff thinks that? I mean, because I had went down a rabbit hole, people, I'm telling you. Down a rabbit hole. I was a mess. And I went, no, I knew he didn't. I knew he didn't. So that's what made me, I'm just like, oh, it was all me. It wasn't anything that he did. So I think that if you will look at yourself and, you know, if you've had a bad day, you're going to take things different than you would be on a good day. You'd probably laugh something off that on a bad day. So you got to kind of look at the whole picture. And you got to look at yourself and not overreact about something like I did.
Well, sometimes looking at yourself is the whole problem.
I understand that. Yeah, and it has been a process for me. And I've been going through it for a while. But, you know, life coaching really changed my mind on that. I don't know that you can see it as much as I can see it, that most of the time the problem's me. And I think everybody can say that, the husband and the wife. Most of the time, when you get upset, the problem is me. It's how I'm thinking about it.
Well, yeah, and we all see things through the color of our lens. But communication, common sense, being rational, and discussing it in calm terms will deal with 90% of this. And what's amazing is that the concept of higher unattainable expectations is one of the 10 reasons, one of the top 10 reasons people get divorced. And this can be dealt with. This can be dealt with early. And if you all can't deal with it, then maybe a marriage counselor or your minister is somebody, and have a third party come
coaches.
In. And coaches. Yeah. Don't let unmet expectations be your downfall. Let it be something more important and bigger than that, because these are all going to be little things that grow into big things.
Right.
And you just need to catch them early and deal with them. And of course, Mel said it earlier, people who've been married before and who have a little maturity on them are going to have probably less issues with this than a young couple.
Right.
And but that was the topic we wanted to hit today.
I'm going to challenge everybody that if it may not even have to be a disagreement with a spouse. It could just be something y'all are talking about and you have a negative thought about it. Just sit back and just say, is this just what I'm thinking about? And is this really true?
Yeah. And look at it from your point of view, the other person's point of view, and then don't necessarily assume the worst.
Right. Absolutely.
Don't flesh it out before you assume the worst. So that's our week 2 discussion. These are the types of daily issues that we're going to be talking about. Like we said last week, we're not professional marriage counselors. We're not preachers. We're not Bible experts.
But we love the Lord, and we try to follow His rules in our marriage. God first, family second, business third, and everything else after that.
Yeah, but we're trying to analyze these things and maybe share a little bit of our experiences with you all. Again, if you have any questions, you can post it on Buzzsprout, and pretty soon when we get our other platform up, that'll be interactive, which will give you more access. So until next week,
stay safe.
Stay safe. Love you. Bye-bye.